There you go. It is Friday, July 9th. Welcome to Menace of Sports. I am Zach Smith, your host. Been a minute. As I told you, we were slowing down episode production kind of in the off season. Not even the off season, just like once it hit May, June, and now into July, we were just wanted to slow down content so we didn't deliver nonsense. But I wanted to, there's some stuff I wanted to talk about. I thought you would enjoy my perspective on. So we're going to put out a show today. We're going to try to do one a week until we get to August when we really crank it back up. So if you are watching or if you're listening on Patreon, I appreciate your support of this platform as we kind of, I even had a good friend of mine's father is a subscriber and he was like, am I getting my bang for my buck here? And I was like, no, you're absolutely not right now. And I apologize for it. So we're gonna get back to it, keep building and growing. I want to give you a little personal update. Part of the reason I haven't been as committed to consistent content outside of what I just said is I'm really focusing on, in this month, growing the personal athlete development platform, both in person and online subscription model. Started training some kids in Columbus, some really high level kids, some college football players that are home for the summer, some high school kids, and even some elite middle school kids. So if you're interested in that around Columbus, I'm doing it both one-on-one all over Columbus, and then also doing small group training at Plus Two University, which is Eric Lichter, unbelievable strength and speed coach who trained LeBron James and a bunch of people, was also the strength coach at Ohio State under Tressel. He's really one of the best I've ever been around. Over at his gym, who also is a part owner, is Cardale Jones. So I'm over at his gym. They have an indoor facility attached to it. So I'm over there doing some small group training. If you're interested, reach out to me, Zach@menace2sports.com. So we're doing that and really working to build an online development platform. Also, if you didn't check it out, if you're hearing this today, the camp just started, but Braxton Miller and Troy Smith are hosting their Charging Heisman camp at Urbana. And I'm going to be heading out to that tomorrow on Saturday. So if you want to come out and say hello, I'll be out there. And I know a bunch of players, and he announced everybody's going to be there. Paris Campbell and Cato Mitchell, Chris Fields are some of my guys that'll be out there. But I know he'll have everybody, all his boys, right? Ryan Shazier will be out there. I'm sure Ted Ginn I saw is going to be out there. So I'll be out there Saturday at least. I don't know if I can make it Sunday. We have a little travel baseball tryout week for my son starting on Sunday. So gonna do that. And also Get ready for big news with the tailgates. Because Gene Smith announced full capacity crowds, we're going to try to bring back our tailgates. I mean, they were getting ready to explode and COVID happened, like a lot of things in society. And we want to bring it back. So we're going to get Braxton involved, maybe get Troy Smith involved, try to get former players out there. It's going to be a big time event, big time location, the Point on Lane. If you went to either of our two tailgates we've had prior, it's going to be awesome. So stay tuned for that. Also, fall content plan starting in August. We're going to do two shows per week plus multiple weekly YouTube shows. Sunday night call-in show will come back. I really enjoyed those. And then my plan for the fall, and I'm looking for feedback on this, what else you'd want to hear, is we're going to do the live game streams like I started at the end of last year. I'm going to incorporate a halftime call-in show so you can call in and bitch and get my opinion on what went on in the first half, what needs to change in the second half, and possibly even add a call-in portion for after the game. That'll be free to the public, live streamed on our YouTube channel at Menace2Sports. If you haven't subscribed, go to YouTube and subscribe because we're going to start pumping content out and doing those live streams, which are always fun. And then our Patreon is going to ramp back up. We have obviously the $2.99 full episode tier is going away. I thought it was a good idea. Don't like it. I don't like not giving the public every episode, full episode for free. So that's going to go away. But the early release is going to ramp up. You get at least one of the two podcasts every week, a day early. Access to our VIP call-in number for VIP line shows and top of the line fast pass. Like if we have a long waiting list, if you are a subscriber, you'll jump to the front of the line for our call-in shows. And then obviously if this works, it seems to be working so far, our $10 a month and up tier will get live streams of all episodes. Really wanted to incorporate video, been trying to for 2 years. Now we're here and I think I can do it. So anyways, that's a lot of stuff. To the VIP tier, we'll announce more later. The Menace subscription, obviously, we have a group text with me and some other things. And then board of directors tier is kind of my advisors, right? Sunday morning Zoom meetings, direct input into content development. Really excited about it. So anyways, as always, also, you can prepay for the entire year and get a pretty good discount. But that's all right. That's all the administrative stuff I wanted to talk about. So enough about that. Let's get to the show.
What a hit! Denzel Ward! You got Barbie! barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Well, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts-Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Well, then get the fuck out of here, then. Okay, see ya.
Man, I love Ricky Gervais, and I love Torts at the end, the no longer Blue Jackets coach. Both of them keep it real and say what they think. And I love it. So if you didn't hear, we're live on YouTube for subscribers for this episode. All episodes are going to be live streamed only for subscribers. Some of them are watching now. Some of them will watch later. But either way, if you're interested in watching these recording sessions live, check out our patreon.com/menacetosports. Enough about all the stuff we have going on. I felt like I needed to update you, but that was 6 minutes too long. Let's talk a little bit about current events. Shakari Richardson. First thing I wanted to talk about. Tested positive for weed. And will not be participating in the Olympics. Side note, the Olympics now have some crazy outbreak fear, so there's going to be no spectators at the Olympics. I don't know why we're even... They should just hold the Olympics in normal countries, not these countries that are going to freak out about nonsense like a Delta variant that is just ridiculous. I thought we had vaccinations. I thought we had vaccines. I thought everyone was protected, is like had body armor against COVID. But Shakari Richardson, test positive, smoking weed. I got three things to say about this. First is... What a ridiculous and outdated rule. If it's not, in my opinion, if it's not performance enhancing, and by the way, weed is legal in a shitload of states in the U.S., why are we worrying about it, right? There's so much that you could worry about. Things like Lance Armstrong and steroids and performance enhancing, like those are the things that should be the focus of the Olympic Committee. If somebody can smoke weed, which is not good for lung capacity, not good for an elite sprinter, if they can do that and still compete on an Olympic level, just good Lord, let them hurt their chances to winning gold. That's on them, right? That's the first thing, first take, right? This is ridiculous. That's outdated. I mean, weed, I can tell you right now, the majority of my football players smoked weed. A lot of it I didn't find out about until after I got out of coaching. But almost, I would say, 90% of your favorite players, especially the Buckeye fans who I know, right? I know the Buckeye players better than anyone. 90% of them smoke weed or certainly smoked weed. At some point, right? You name a big name, and I promise you, they probably did. So if you're maybe a little bit old school, or that's you're not a part of a culture that does that, that might be a little surprising to you. But everybody does it. I mean, not everybody, but a lot of people do it. And it's legal now so many places. I don't know how we're penalizing people for that. But the second part of this is what I really want to talk about it. She knew the rule and broke it. Accountability is a real thing. And to be honest with you, she has shown the highest level of accountability. She's owned it. She hasn't made excuses. She didn't bring up the fact that her mom passed away. I mean, it was mentioned, but she was just basically like, I did it. I knew the rule. I broke it, right? NFL Combine stories of mine always stick out where everyone in the world knows if they go to the NFL Combine, they're going to get drug tested. That's going to happen. It's always going to happen, right? It's never not happened at the NFL Combine. Yet players... fail at the combine. What does that tell you? One, they may have a problem, right? They may smoke too much that they can't quit for like, what is it? I don't even know, 2 weeks. They need to not smoke for 2 weeks to pass that drug test. I could be wrong. I don't really know the how long it is in your urine, but I know it's not that long. So for a kid or Shakari Richardson in this case, who knew they were getting tested to still smoke, you kind of got to pay the piper on that one. You got to be held accountable for it. It's just the reality of it. So those are the two sides of the argument. And the third thing I want to say is both things can be true. You don't have to say, this is bullshit. She smoked weed. She should be able to go. You can also say, yeah, she knew she was going to get tested. She needs to be held accountable for her actions and for knowingly break a rule. I used to tell my players all the time, I didn't necessarily disagree with smoking weed. I understood culturally some people grew up where that was alcohol to adults. right? In some cultures, some societies, some cities, it just is what it is. I understood that. But this was more about you're playing a sport, trying to compete at a high level. You know it's not legal. You know you could jeopardize your future by smoking it. So why would you jeopardize your future for some weed, right? That was my big press into the issue. But huge conversations right now about name, image, and likeness. And there's deals popping up everywhere. I mean, Yoke Gaming is the one that really, I guess, is prevalent. Like, a lot of people are getting signed by Yoke Gaming, whatever Yoke Gaming is. It's like, I read about it. It's a gaming company started by a former Notre Dame football player. And I know a dozen players at least at Ohio State have signed with them. And the legal verbiage in the contract with Yoke Gaming is terrifying. And it makes me wonder, like, I know the NCAA dropped the ball, right, for not governing this at all or having any stipulations. But I think the schools have really dropped the ball also if they're not reviewing these contracts, because these kids are going to get taken advantage of. Some of the verbiage in the Yoke Gaming contract was like, wow, I hope you're getting paid a fortune. And I don't have it in front of me. I should have grabbed it. But it's basically like, we could do whatever we want with your name, image, and likeness if you sign this contract. It was like, oh, okay, here's $5,000 or whatever, $2,000, or $1,000. I don't even know what they get paid. But I mean, the kids are getting taken advantage of, and that was my only concern with this name, image, and likeness, is that kids were going to get taken advantage of, and they may make a little coin, but they won't be protected. They need an attorney to look over the contracts, and I think the schools have failed them, and the NCAA has failed them by doing this compensation model the way it was done, which was basically like hands off, like, I don't know, have at it, right? Good job, NCAA. I know I saw Jeremy Rucker, Tyreek Smith, Zed Key, another Buckeye signed with GoPuff. Seven Banks is a Canes ambassador. I'm with that. Canes is delicious. I saw Michi Johnson with Blaze Pizza. And then I think the coolest ones to me are the entrepreneur players, right? Two guys that I know really well because I recruited both of them. Taraja Mitchell and his Above the Realm clothing line that he's launching. And then Haskell Garrett, Impact by HG clothing line. I think that's phenomenal. That's a kid that wants to build his brand and build a company, start a business, now that he can be compensated for his celebrity, right? That's what it is. And so I think that's great. I think every player should be looking to do something like that. Now, everyone can't start a clothing brand or a clothing line, or else it won't be successful. If all, not, you know, 85 scholarship guys at Ohio State start a clothing line, like, it's hard for everyone to buy everyone's clothes, but there's so many things they could do, right? Start training services. Online subscriptions are my big thing. You all know that. And I think they should be doing, you know, start an OnlyFans that's not porn, right? Like, if I am CJ Stroud, I'm going to start an OnlyFans and bring fans into the locker room, into the meeting room. I'm going to make a fortune giving fans the insider access to my life. Now, the other thing about this is Ohio State and a slew of schools have made it so that the athletes cannot use the logo, the colors, the stadium, the facilities in their compensation, in their name, image, and likeness deals. Whereas LSU and a handful of others have said, go ahead, you can use Tiger Stadium, Death Valley. You can use it in a commercial. Do you know how big that is in recruiting? That's going to catch up to the Ohio States and Notre Dame's, these schools that are trying to put stipulations and you can't use our brand. And to be honest, it's stubborn and ridiculous. But Ohio State's always been that way. I mean, think about it. These kids are your brand at Ohio State. They are what makes you millions and millions of dollars. So you won't let them do something in the stadium? Why? Because you want a piece of the pie? It's ridiculous. And I'm telling you, it's going to hurt the schools that are limiting the athletes in the long run. Whereas LSU's like, yeah, fuck it. Use everything. We want our LSU logo everywhere for what? Recruiting. And it's going to hurt Ohio State. It just is. The other side of this that is just starting to take life, it's just starting to get some legs, is the blanket endorsement deals for rosters, right? In Miami already, one booster has committed over $500,000 to endorsement deals. That's essentially right now, just because of that one booster, every scholarship athlete at Miami gets $500 a month from these local gyms. They're now on a stipend. They get $500 a month, and that's just getting started. You know what's going to happen, right? It's essentially creating a revenue split salary for every player to the point where, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take, a year or two. This is going to turn into, if you sign with Alabama right now, their blanket endorsement deals, your salary will be $3,000 a month or $5,000 a month, right? That's how much endorsements they've gotten or how many deals they've made for the blanket all scholarship players. So if you sign with Alabama, your salary will be $100,000 a year. Oh, Ohio State's is only $30,000 a year. Well, I'm going to go to Alabama. That's a much better financial situation for me. And you can still do individual deals outside of that if you become a superstar. That's a game changer. No one's talking about it. The blanket endorsement deals that will create essentially a salary for any scholarship player, maybe even the whole roster if they really want to split it up. Just crazy. So that's the future. Get ready for it. It's going to be salaries. People said, oh, we don't want schools to pay them. Well, the schools aren't going to pay them, but these endorsement deals are going to become blanket deals where they have a starting salary, right? Plus commission. Starting salary plus commission. Just crazy. Similar to the name, image, and likeness, it has given new life to the likes of Reggie Bush, who wants his Heisman back. He wants his stats back. And the Heisman committee, being a bunch of pussies, basically said, ah, that's not on us. Put it right back on the NCAA. They said if the NCAA reinstates his stats, they will reconsider reinstating his Heisman. So they're like, no, we're not reinstating anything until the NCAA does. Putting the ball in the NCAA's court, who, you know, the NCAA, they don't do shit. They don't do anything. So they'll probably never do anything. And then Reggie Bush will be without his Heisman. But there's been a lot of conversation about that. What I haven't heard much about is, what about Ohio State's wins that were vacated? Because Terrell Pryor and a group of players sold some jerseys for tattoos. And I mean, minor stuff, really, in the grand scheme of things. Now it's legal, right? Now you can go get a tattoo and post on Instagram, tattoo by the @tattoo cartel. And you got it for free because it's a paid promotion. Now you can do that. Well, merely what? 10 years ago, Ohio State players got suspended and Ohio State had to vacate wins. Jim Tressel got fired because of the NCAA's ridiculousness around name, image, and likeness. It's just wild. But I think you're going to see a lot of shit coming like that. Some reinstatements. I'm just waiting for the class action lawsuit. I've talked to Braxton Miller, not that he's going to sue, but about how much money he could have made at Ohio State when he was playing. It's seven figures for sure. I mean, whatever, three-time Big Ten player of the year, all the shit he did, just electric player. He could have made a fortune in school. And so there's going to be a case for some of these players to sue the NCAA and these schools and say, hey, that's bullshit, man. You should have done this when I was playing. I would have made a fortune. And I'm with them. I'm with them. If you're going to do it, everybody needs to get paid. All right, now my favorite segment of any show, right? The DASMP, Dumbass Sports Media Personality of the Week. And I don't know if you can classify this guy as that because he's like a late night radio host in Cleveland, which, what is that? I think you actually have to pay to have that job and sell advertising to make money off of it. So I don't know that he's even considered a real media person. Maybe Cleveland people could tell me. But this guy, I've never heard of him, Mike Borman, host of Chico After Dark, a Cleveland evening radio show. He tweeted, has there been a bigger upgrade in any job anywhere on the planet than Brian Hartline over Zach Smith at Ohio State? And I think, and I went off about it, and I think it's hilarious for two reasons. One, have you seen what Hartline's doing? What receiver coach in the country, if Brian Hartline went in and replaced them and did exactly what he's doing right now, would it not be a major upgrade? There's not one. He's doing something unprecedented at the receiver coach position in recruiting, right? I think it's one, because he played the position at a very high level. Two, he's a very good coach. Three, he's a very good recruiter. He's very focused, right? He finds the guys that he fit and he loves and he goes and gets them. That's the main reason. But there's another reason. Any big time recruit gets team recruited, right? The head coach is the lead recruiter on the top five guys at every position, right? And I'm not trying to take anything away from Hartline. Hartline's outstanding, but Ryan Day deserves credit for this too. Not to mention they are recruiting to an offense with elite quarterback play that throws the ball. Let's not forget that, right? This is not the single wing offense. This is not a quarterback that runs first, right? That is not what they're recruiting to. It's much easier to recruit receivers, but this sounds like an excuse, but I just want to throw that out there. Like, Ryan Day deserves credit for this. The style of offense deserves credit for this also. And the quarterback play deserves credit for this, to be frank. And then the tweet was, recruiting was decent at best. Someone replied, he was a hell of a recruiter also. And my guy, what's his name? I don't even remember his name. Mike Borman said, decent at best. And he was unable to close on big time recruits, especially the last few years. I would like to remind you though, I closed on Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Jameson Williams. The three starters last year. So I don't know what we're talking about here. I mean, it's a guy that doesn't know shit, obviously. And I'm not trying to sit here and tout myself or list my own resume. But these guys that talk about sports is just like, wow, people listen to these guys. I hope people in Cleveland don't listen to this clown. He doesn't know a fucking thing. But I did see randomly as I searched my name and him on Twitter that guess who he's friends with? The Chunk-a-Monk himself. The Chunky Monkey, Ari Wasserman. Who would have guessed? Color me shocked. His buddy is Ari Wasserman. There you go. But enough about that. I just had to mention the dumbass sports media personality of the week, Chico After Dark, Mike Borman. My challenge still stands. Brian Hartline was a huge improvement over me, but the biggest improvement in the world would be if he let me run his radio show for a week. The numbers would triple, I guarantee it. So the challenge is out there, Big Mike. Put your money where your mouth is, bitch. See what happens. Anyways, talk about recruiting. Ohio State had a week, didn't they? In the past week, they landed JTT, the number one player in 2021, some would say. So they have that kid and Jack Sawyer are their incoming defensive ends. Watch out in 2 years. Now, I will say the same thing I said about Zach Harrison. Let's not tout this guy as Joey Bosa as a freshman or Chase Young as a freshman. Let's not forget they're going to be freshmen. It's going to take a year or two for either of those kids to become elite pass defensive ends. Now, they'll probably contribute, but they're not going to be Joey Bosa day one. So keep your mind right. Don't get overexcited. Tuck your boner in a little bit. It's going to be okay, right? They also beat Bama for a top 100 corner and beat a couple SEC teams for a top 100 receiver. So that, I'm telling you, the staff is doing a great job, most of them, and Ryan Day is absolutely scorching it. But it brought something up that I saw from 247 Sports. The top 10 all-time recruits for Ohio State. If you didn't see it, let me read them to you. Number one, if he signs, right? He's going to be a high school senior. Quinn Ewers will be the number one recruit ever to sign with Ohio State. Two, Terrell Pryor. Three, Ted Ginn Jr. Four, JTT, the DN just committed. Five, Jack Sawyer, right? So two of the top five in the history of Ohio State are DNs that are coming in this class. That's absurd. Six, Julian Fleming. Seven, Noah Spence. Eight, Nick Bosa. Nine, Beanie Wells, and 10, Sammy Maldonado from 2000. When I heard that, I was like, whoa, let's take a look at this. The top 10 all-time recruits for Ohio State. One was John Cooper's recruit in his last class. Two of them were Urban's recruits. Three of them were Jim Tressel's recruits. Four of them were Ryan Day's recruits. And now look at tenure, how long those coaches coached here. What Ryan Day is doing in recruiting is unprecedented. So this pro football focus shit about he's not a top 20 head coach, it's all for clicks. It's all to get you guys to troll the Buckeye fans because PFF knows that'll get them a bunch of retweets and people that are pissed. It'll get more traction. It's how the shit works. It's what I hate about it. It's why I'm not good at this offseason stuff because it's all about creating controversy. I was joking and tweeted out the top three head coaches and left off Nick Saban thinking everyone would know it was a joke. And making fun of Pro Football Focus. And my DMs were lit up by Alabama fans about how I beat you. That maybe the wife beater should shut up to not include Nick Saban. What a clown. It's like, bro, you didn't think that was a joke? Nick Saban's not one of the top three head coaches in the country right now? Come on, man. But it's crazy to me. Urban Meyer only has two of the top 10. Tressel has three. And Ryan Day has four. Because Urban Meyer has the reputation of being a great recruiter. He also doesn't have a recruit in the top six. I mean, look at that. Ryan Day has Quinn Ewers at one. JTT at four. Jack Sawyer at five. Julian Fleming at six. Tressel has Terrell Pryor at two. Ted Ginn Jr. at three. That's insane. Insane. So kudos to Ryan Day. Kudos to what he has going on. The staff, Mark Pantone, and the reality is the players, the current players, former players that are just grinding these kids to come to Ohio State. The culture is strong, and that's the good news. And finally, the last thing I want to talk about, and it was a subscriber on Patreon that asked me, is just talk about rituals, right? Game day rituals, mine, ones that I knew about. And I also did some research, and I want to talk about some of the biggest rituals in sports and some of the weirdest ones, right? So the couple that jumped out right away, right? When a pitcher has a no-hitter, don't talk about the no-hitter. That everyone knows that rule, right? Even fans at home, don't mention that a pitcher has a no-hitter. The playoff beard, no haircuts until after season. Then you have things like the Sports Illustrated curse and the Madden cover curse for Dante Culpepper, Michael Vick, Donovan McNabb, Sean Alexander, Peyton Hillis. I mean, the Madden cover curse is real if you really look at it. And then some of the cool, like, rituals that are just so prominent in big time athletics over the last 50 years, like Tiger Woods wearing his Sunday red pullover, right? Michael Jordan had to wear his North Carolina shorts on under his uniform. A couple that I did. Wayne Gretzky put baby powder on his stick before the opening faceoff of every game, right? This is a weird one I didn't know about. Serena Williams wears the same socks until she loses and doesn't wash them. So if she's winning, those socks never get washed. And God, I don't know if you know, she's pretty damn good. She's won a lot of tennis matches in a row. So that's disgusting. Here's a crazy one for you. Did you know Ronaldo, a great soccer player, he changes his hairstyle at halftime of every game. When he comes out in the second half, he will have mixed up his hairstyle. Weird ritual, but he's kind of a pretty boy. One of the coolest things, if you haven't seen it, the New Zealand rugby team, the All Blacks, which is one, I forget the book about it, but I've read a number of articles about them. The culture there is unbelievable. If you want to get into high-level sports culture, you need to look into the New Zealand All Blacks because it's unbelievable. But their pregame haka dance is internationally legendary. I mean, it just the intimidation, how cool it is. I mean, the cultural aspect of it is awesome. So I would encourage you to check that out on YouTube or read into the All Blacks because they are special. Wade Boggs. Every game took batting practice at 5:17 p.m., not 5:16, not 5:18. At 5:17 p.m., Wade Boggs took BP. I thought that was cool. Brian Urlacher, the great linebacker of the Bears, had to eat 2 chocolate chip cookies before every game. And if you haven't seen Big John Henderson of the Jaguars, the former D lineman, he is 6'6", 300 something. He had an assistant trainer smack him in the face as hard as they could before every game. How about that one? So those are some... those are some cool ones, and then there were some wild ones, right? Like Les Miles. Before every game, he eats grass from the game field so that he can feel like he's a part of the field. And Les Miles is weird as shit already. So he eats game field grass so he can become part of the field and win a game. Maybe that's why he didn't win many. I take that back. He won a lot of games, but Les Miles is a phony if you ask me. But anyways, Jason Giambi. When he was in a slump, would bring out a golden thong. And if he was in a slump, he'd wear the golden thong in a game to break his slump. So much so that Johnny Damon and the whole Yankees team started wearing golden thongs when they were in slumps to try to get out of it. I'm wondering where that ESPN story is. They probably had one, but I didn't know that one. How about Kevin Romberg, Major League Baseball player, would never turn right on game day. He only would turn left, a la Zoolander, right? Because he said, because you run the bases and only turn left, he was never going to turn right on game day. He was only going to turn left, get in game day mood. How about the former Cubs Mets outfielder, Moises Alou, great player, everyone should know him. He used to urinate on his hands to toughen them up. Like, what? What the hell is wrong with this guy? The Detroit Red Wings, if you haven't seen it, launch octopi onto the ice after a goal. They actually have... like guidelines on what to do. They ask you to boil the octopus 30 minutes before the game so they don't leave slimy residue on the ice. They ask you to actually cook it for a little bit so it doesn't make the ice gross. I think that's pretty significant. But those are just some cool ones I found in sports history that I wanted to share. Personally, my routines and rituals were, I had a couple things that I always did, right? Always had to have my dog tags on. Always had to have the Zone 6 stickers on my bill of my hat and on my shoes. I took this from Urban, and I'm going to talk about some of the things Urban did. I always had to have a folder. It was kind of a nervous escape before a game to go through the game plan, just kind of to go through it again to keep it fresh in my mind and write down plays that I love, right? Possible situations that could come up, defenses they could run, and plays I didn't want to forget about, right? And I also would put little notes to myself. Kind of for the game. And you know what I'm going to do? My most famous one was the Michigan State game where I wrote down every single play I recommended to run in the second half. I've talked about it before on this show. And we didn't run a single one of them. So I still have it. I kept it. I'm still pissed about it. That 2015 Michigan State game, everyone else that is a Buckeye fan certainly is also. I'm irate about it. So I'll never not have that folder. So I'll post a picture of that on Patreon for all you subscribers. So you can see what that folder looked like, but it was just a nervous thing that I did. I also had to pick a leader every year who would deliver a Zone 6 sticker about 8 minutes before we went out to Urban Meyer to put on his shoe. I also had the same leader give Urban Meyer a set of Zone 6 dog tags. So what was cool about it was I decided when that happened. It wasn't always the first game. Like Virginia Tech 2016, it was the first game because that was a huge game, right? If we played a smaller game, it might not be like in 2017, I think it was. Was it 2017? No, yeah. Oh, we played Oklahoma. I gave it to him. So, or I didn't give them to him. Our leader did. So that was another routine we did. We also had pregame routines that were important. In the hotel, we had routines. I always had routines. Just things that you did, certain things you ate, right? Urban Meyer had a million. You talk about a very superstitious and ritualistic coach, right? He walked with the same player every morning on game day on our team walk for the entire year, right? The same player, they do this thing where they put a player out there and he was the pole, right? We had to do this long walk. Once we got to a spot, a certain young lineman usually would go stand out there. The team had to walk around him and then walk back. And that player never changed. That was one thing. He also shake the hands when the team arrived anywhere, home or away. He was the first one at the locker room. He turned around and he shook the hand of every player. And if you weren't a player and you walked by and reached out your hand, he would look at you like, get the fuck out of my way, you douchebag. I'm trying to get with my players. Every game. So you've probably seen the videos of guys walking in to shake his hand. But God help him if a coach, an assistant coach or intern went to shake a hand. It would have been a bad deal. And then one I think is really cool is the last thing he said to the team before they took the field every time was 4-6, A to B, as hard as you can go. Give everything you've got in a much more animated way. And that came from a guy you worked for, Bob Davies at Notre Dame, who before the game would say something like, play hard, no mistakes. No mistakes out there. And he used to cringe because he felt like telling the players not to make mistakes would lead them to play tentative, right? Not unleash the dog and go. They would be worried about mistakes and they wouldn't play hard. So he had to say it every game to let them know mistakes happen. As long as you go 4-6, A to B, that will overcome any mistakes. Don't worry about mistakes. Just fucking go. Let it loose. He had to say that every game right before we ran out. He had to have his manila folder with who he wanted to get touches, how many touches, the plays he loved, reminders. He would write little notes to himself. I took that from him, like I said. He had to have a sticker from his own sixth leader for every game. And if he didn't, he would come to me, where the fuck's my sticker? And I'd be like, oh, shit. Is it already 8 minutes? My bad. He also had to have a Buckeye in his pocket. And that's going ever since he was a GA at Ohio State. He had to have a Buckeye in his pocket. Even when at Florida, we played Ohio State in the national championship game, he had a Buckeye in his pocket. So that's some rituals I thought of. I'll probably think of some more. And I just really wanted to get this episode out to talk about the name, image, and likeness stuff. Also to drop this live on YouTube. So I appreciate everyone tuning in. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with us as we grind out the growth into this athlete development platform and try to figure out our plan for the fall and upgrade the studio, the camera quality. Gotta love it, right? That is 4K if I've ever seen it. Cost a pretty penny. But really trying to bring an awesome experience this fall for college football. That was the focus this offseason, along with, you know, getting my mental right, being with family, and building this athlete development stuff. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, I appreciate you. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you were entertained. And if not, as we say, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me, hurt my feelings!
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller is loose, spin move! Miller heading for the end zone!
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Well, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Well, then get the fuck out of here, then. Okay, see ya.